So what I figured we would do is we are only 2.5 weeks away from Pesach, and I'm not going to be here next week on Tuesday. So that would, and the following Tuesday is the day before Erev Pesach. So I'm not sure we will be meeting.
Everybody will be busy.
Yeah. So I thought we'd learn about Pesach. So what I chose to do is study, as I was saying, the part that I like most about this little class is really preparing parts of the Chumash that otherwise would not necessarily be studied in depth. So Pesach is discussed several different times throughout the Chumash. The main story, of course, is in the book of Shmos, and as the actual Exodus takes place, many psukim discussing the laws and the concepts and the ideas. It's discussed in Sefer Vayikra, which we are starting this week. The laws of the sacrifices, that's where the korbanos of Pesach are discussed. And then it's discussed again in Sefer Devarim at the end of Parshas Re'eh. And that's the section that I'd like to study this morning. It's page 1020. This is the end of Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh has a series of halachas. It talks about Shemitah. It talks about Maaser Sheni, the second tithe that you give off your produce when you give to poor people. It talks about generally a Jewish slave who decides he wants to stay. The end of the Parsha begins discussing the concept of a Bechor. And then the very end of the Parsha, you'll see the 16th chapter, if you just look at the headings on the English side, is discussing the three pilgrimage festivals. It discusses Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So the end of the Parsha, and this is actually what we lane during Yontif. These Pesukim is the laning during Yontif. And so whoever has a chance to study, because when Parshas Re'eh comes in the middle of the summer, who's thinking about Pesach? So we discuss other things in the Parsha. This actual section is rarely studied, so I thought we'd take the opportunity and study it today. Okay, just to get some of the context, let's just read a couple of those looking quickly in Hebrew and English, just to get the flow, and then we'll go back over and learn what we can. One other quick note, today is the yahrzeit of my wife's grandfather, Yitzchak ben Moshe. My son Binyamin Yitzchak is named partially for him as well, and today is his yahrzeit. So today's studying should be in his merits. Okay, the Torah begins, Shomor es Chodesh Ha'aviv. So just to understand the context, if you flip back, it's always good to get a little bit of context. The previous paragraph has nothing to do with the pilgrimages, nothing to do with the Shalosh Regalim, nothing to do with Yontiv. The previous paragraph, which begins in verse 19, Pasuk Yutes, Kol HaBachor Asher Yuvaled, every firstborn male from your cattle and from your flock is consecrated to Hashem. It goes to the Kohen. The Kohen will bring it as a korban. So it's really just coming in as a new paragraph off of that. And then the Torah describes the other areas in which you'll go to Yerushalayim. And we begin with Pesach. So again, just to give, let's just learn a couple of psukim to get the flow of what's going on. Shemor es chodesh ha'aviv. You shall observe, guard, watch the month of the springtime, the asisa Pesach Hashem Elokecha, and perform the Pesach offering, the korban Pesach to Hashem. Ki the chodesh ha'aviv hotziacha Hashem Elokecha mi Mitzrayim laila, because it was in the month of the springtime that Hashem took you out of Egypt at night. So you have your opening pasuk. Make sure you guard and watch, observe the chodesh ha'aviv, the springtime month, because that's the month that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Just to read again, just to get the context a little bit. Vizavachta Pesach Hashem Elokecha Tzon Uvakar. You shall slaughter the Pesach offering to Hashem from the flock and cattle. Bamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Leshakein Shemo Shem. And where shall you do that? You shall do that in the place that Hashem will choose to rest His presence, which is, of course, Yerushalayim. Lo sochal olav chomet shivas yomim teichol olav matzas lechem. Only you shall not eat chomets with this carbon. For 7 days you shall eat matzahs because of it, meaning because of the carbon, because of the Pesach. That matzah is referred to as the lechem oni, the bread of affliction. Ki b'chi pazon yatzasa meres Mitzrayim, because in great haste did you depart from Mitzrayim, from Egypt. L'man tizkor siyom tzeitzcha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha, that you shall remember the day of your departure, all the days of your life. And then the Torah goes on to describe a little bit more about the concept of not eating chametz and about eating matzah and only offering the korban Pesach in Yerushalayim, and a little bit more about Pesach. Okay, let's go back over that now and learn each verse and see what we have. Let's start from the beginning. Shamor es chodesh ha'aviv. What does that phrase mean, shamor? What do you hear when you hear the word shamor? What is that language of? To be shomer the Shabbos, like to guard it, to protect it, to watch it, to ensure that it's there. So what would that mean to be shamor es chodesh ha'aviv? To guard, watch, Art Scroll here translates as observe. What does that mean to observe or watch the chodesh ha'aviv? The month of the springtime. What am I supposed to do with that? I need to watch the month? So Rashi here comments.
Observe that it's always... The Pesach's always in this.
Excellent. Rashi here comments exactly what Dina says. First line, if you want to follow inside. Shemor es chodesh ha'aviv mikodem, from previously, meaning before the yontif starts, you need to be watching or guarding, protecting, ensuring that it will be during the chodesh ha'aviv, that it will be during the springtime. Bo'u shomor shiyei ro'i le'aviv. Make sure that this holiday will take place during a time that it is fit to be springtime. The Hakribo is Minchas HaOmer, because on the second day of Pesach we offer the Korban HaOmer. We bring the special Korban which begins our Sfiras HaOmer on the second day of Yontiv, and it has to be with the from the crops that have already begun to be harvested. The Imlav Ovar Es Hashanah. But if not, then you'll have to add a month to the year. This Pasuk is the source for the idea that we have a leap year. Because the lunar calendar, which is what we follow, lunar calendar is how many days? No, the whole lunar calendar, the year.
354.
354 days in the lunar calendar from 1 year to the next. And how many days in the solar calendar? Everybody knows, 365. So there are 11 days less in a lunar calendar than in a solar calendar, which means that if Pesach is this year going to begin on April the 8th, on the night of April the 8th, next year, when will Pesach begin? 11 days earlier in March. It'll be March, whatever that'll be, 27, I guess. Well, depending on the story, 31 days. March 27 or 28, because every year, the lunar calendar, the 15th of Nisan, will fall out 11 days earlier in the solar secular calendar. And the year after that, Pesach will fall 11 days earlier than that. So if it's going to be March 29, let's say, next year, or 28, it'll be March 17, the year before that, the year after that. The year after that, if we would leave it alone, it would be March 8th, 6th, excuse me. Well, soon thereafter, it's not going to be in the springtime anymore. It's going to be in the dead of winter. So says the Pasuk, Shamor es Chodesh Ha'aviv. You have to watch and observe that Pesach comes out of the Chodesh Ha'aviv. And the way that that's done is by adding an extra month every 2 or 3 years, adding an extra 30 days, which will eventually keep pushing Pesach back into the springtime. Why is it so important that Pesach is observed in the springtime? So let's read the Pasuk. It seems like the Pasuk seems to say, Shamor es chodesh ha'aviv v'asisa Pesach l'Hashem Elokecha. Watch, guard, be careful about the chodesh ha'aviv, that Pesach should be during the springtime. Why? Ki v'chodesh ha'aviv hotziyacha Hashem Elokecha mi Mitzrayim laila. Because it was during the springtime that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim in the middle of the night. Any questions on that? Does that make sense? Is that an important facet of the Yitzias Mitzrayim story? Really?
They took
him out? No, that he took him out during the springtime. Is it important enough to dictate that our entire calendar should be changed? That we should have an extra leap, even though we work on a lunar calendar, that we should have all the requirements of adding an extra month, all in order to ensure that Pesach always calls out in spring because Pesach happened during the springtime? Let's say we would celebrate Pesach in the middle of the winter. What are we really celebrating Pesach? What's the Chag about? Right? Hashem took us out. We were slaves. Hashem had promised to Abraham we would be slaves. Hashem took us out, made us into a nation, with great fanfare, showed himself to the world, to us, what he's about. All the Seder is about belief, recognition, and emunah in Hashem, because He showed Himself. What we say, the Ramban makes famous his argument. He says, Hashem doesn't have to prove Himself to every heretic that exists. Any Joe who gets up and says, hey, I don't believe in God, if He's really there, prove it. I don't have to deal with you. What I did is I showed myself to the world once, in an amazing, massive way, which no one can deny. And then I had you go over that story year after year after year after year to make sure that it would be part of your Jewish consciousness for all time's sake, and now you'll know me. So we celebrate it on the 15th of Nisan. What difference would it make if the 15th of Nisan, which is the calendar date that it happened, wasn't always in the springtime? Alright, so the story happened, it was nice outside. Okay. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is the redemption. The point of the story is the recognition and belief in God that we took out of that story and the becoming of a nation. It was nice outside when it happened. Okay, it was nice outside. It's lovely. Says the Torah. No. It's not just lovely. Shamor eschodesh aviv. Make sure you guard that it is springtime. Why? Because that's when I took you out. And since I took you out during springtime, you better make sure it's nice outside when you celebrate Pesach. I don't know. It wouldn't seem so important to me that we would orchestrate an entire, manipulate an entire calendar to make sure that Pesach should always be in the springtime. So if you flip, I don't know, you may agree with, and I see, I don't think you guys agree with me on the question, which is fine, you don't have to. No? That's fine.
You want to know.
No, you don't have to. You could say, no, that it should be in the springtime. Since it took us out in the springtime, it should be that way. But all I'm pointing out is, whether you like the question or you don't like the question, you don't have to like the question, is that we seem to place a tremendous amount of weight on the fact that it was springtime, that we'll manipulate an entire calendar. There's a mitzvah in the Torah upon Beis Din to manipulate our calendar to ensure that Pesach falls out during the spring season, because that's when Hashem took us out. Seems like it's a very integral part of the Yontif. So if you flip back to the actual story in Shemos, I think we'll find a hint of an answer, or at least the beginning of something to discuss. On page 360. So this is actually in the beginning of the story. The Jewish people are still in Mitzrayim. Hashem begins this particular paragraph in the beginning of chapter 13. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe leimor, sanctify to me every firstborn. Whether or not a person that's born, firstborn male child, firstborn animal, each one is dedicated to Hashem. And then Moshe says, Vayomer Moshe Elam, Zochor es hayom hazeh asher yatzosa mi Mitzrayim. Remember this day, the bottom of page 361. Remember this day on which you departed from Egypt, from the house of bondage. Ki bechozek yad hotzi Hashem eschem mizeh. With a strong hand Hashem removed you, and therefore chometz may not be eaten. So here we have the first command Hashem is giving to Moshe to tell the Jewish people. You will observe Pesach. You'll remember what took place. Today you are leaving in the month of springtime. Again, you have this idea. Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh ha'aviv. Says Moshe to the Jewish people, Rabbi Yisai, I want everybody to pay attention. Look around you. It's springtime. Says Rashi, V'chilo hayu yodin be'ez chodesh yotzu. Did they not know what month it was when they were leaving? Did they not look outside? Did they not notice when the kids were saying and they're packing up, Mommy, what should I wear? You don't need your coat, son. It's springtime. They knew it. Moshe has to tell the Jewish people, look, today is springtime. Why is this so important? Ela kach omer lehem. Says Rashi, top line if you want to follow inside, page 362. Kach omer lehem. Moshe is saying to the Jewish people as follows, Ru'u chesed shegimalchem. Look at the kindness that Hashem is doing for you. Shehotzi eschem b'chodesh shehu kosher lotzeis. He is taking you out during a month where it is most fitting and appropriate to leave. Says Rashi, it's not too hot. We're not yet in the heat of the summer. Egyptian deserts can be pretty brutal. We're not in the heat of summer. Velotzina, we're not in the dead of winter. Velogishamim, it's not the rainy season. It's beautiful springtime weather. And Moshe says to the Jewish people, note that now you're leaving springtime.
The time of rebirth.
It's the time of rebirth. It's also true. Now that's not how Rashi is saying it. It happens to be true that it's a time of rebirth, and many of us have either heard or experienced. There's something nice about Pesach coming in the springtime, that their flowers are blooming, the grass is turning green again, the trees are in bloom. It's appropriate that the nation should be born during springtime. But there's a heavier weight on it that we have to manipulate an entire calendar for that. And when Moshe says it to the Jewish people for the first time, he says, today you're leaving in the springtime. Rashi says, they know that. Moshe is saying to them, no. Look at the chesed that Hashem is doing. Look at the kindness that He's taking you out. Now, you have to ask a question in Rashi. Would the Jewish people have cared if it was raining? I've been a slave for 210 years, the last 85 of which have been brutally oppressive. They're taking your children and they're killing them in front of you. They're doing unspeakable atrocities. And now you're leaving. And it's raining outside. Do you care? It's hot.
Well, it makes the experience so much nicer.
I don't even know if you would notice on the way out. I don't even know that you would notice on the way out that it was nice outside after leaving such an experience.
But maybe Hashem arranged it that way so that we, who are remembering it thousands and thousands of years later, recognize how kind He was.
So I saw my Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Yaakov Goldbach, that was Rosh Hashiva in Kerbi Avnus. So he points out from his Rashi that what Moshe is saying is, look at the chesed that Hashem does. Sometimes we do chesed when somebody needs chesed. And sometimes we do chesed because you really love a person. They don't really need it. They wouldn't have even known that they were missing something. But you do it anyway, not because they were lacking something, but because you just want to give to them. You just have that kind of relationship. When you're driving down the street and it's raining outside, and someone's walking without an umbrella, and you stop and you offer them a ride, on our chesed scale, 0 being 0 in chesed and 10 being a 10 in chesed, what level of chesed is that?
It's a 10.
Absolutely not. I disagree.
Not a 10?
Not a 10. Why do I hold it's not a 10?
Because their life isn't in danger.
Well, that's even more severe. They're not really life in danger from being out in the rain. It's rachmei feel bad for the person. Nebuch, a person's walking in the rain without an umbrella and here I'm driving by. I feel bad for you. I feel bad for you. You get all wet, maybe you'll get sick, I'll give you a ride. So the trait within me that it's really coming from is really closer on the scale of Rachmanos. I feel bad, you know, Nebuch, a person's walking without an umbrella in the rain, let me help him out. And if you would have walked past that person on a sunny day, would you have stopped to give him a ride?
No.
Maybe they also would have liked a ride. I didn't see a need. People walk all the time. Why should I stop? When I saw a need, a person's walking in the rain without an umbrella, I'll stop. I'll ask him out. Now, halavai, we should all be on a level when we see a need, we help out. That's a madrega. It's a certain level that when a Jew sees someone else has a problem, I stop. I'll take up my own time, go out of my way. That's a level. But there's a level far greater than that, and that's when a person doesn't even know they're missing something, but you have what to give them, and you want to give them anyway. Chazal say in the Medrash that when Abraham would have a guest, the Medrash compares Abraham to, I think it was Eov, the character of Eov, I believe. And the Gemara says, Eov, when you had a guest, you asked the guest what they were accustomed to. If they were accustomed to fine wine, you gave them fine wine. If they were accustomed to mediocre wine, you gave them mediocre wine. If they were accustomed to fancy meats, you gave them fancy meats. If they were accustomed to not so fancy meats, you gave them what they wanted to have, what they were accustomed to. But Avram had a totally different trait. You know what Avram did? He didn't care what they were accustomed to. Even if they never had the finest steak before, he would give them the finest of steaks and the finest of wines. Not because the guest was missing it. He never even knew such a thing existed. But because Avram, from within him, had such a desire to give, it wasn't that I need to fulfill what you feel you're missing. It's that I have something that I want to give to you, and therefore I give. That's a midah of chesed. It's a trait of chesed far greater than a reaction to me seeing a problem, seeing somebody in need, feeling bad that he's missing something. I'll fill it in for you, which is a great thing. We should all be there. But when I don't even see that you realize you're missing anything, but I know that you could have something better and I want to give to you because I want to give, not because you are missing something, that's a much greater level of chesed. So Shiv Yizei, that's what Moshe is saying to the Jewish people. You're beginning your relationship with Hashem right now. You're becoming a nation and developing that. And at the very first moment of the relationship, look at what Hashem did. You would not have even noticed if it was raining outside. You would not have cared if it was hot. You wouldn't have cared if it was cold, because freedom is what it's all about. You're going free. But look what He did. Stop and look, because you might not realize the weather is gorgeous outside. You don't have to worry about the wheels getting stuck in the mud. You don't have to worry about the kids' colds, making sure they're in their coats, making sure that everybody's bundled. You don't have to worry about the rain, not about the heat. It's gorgeous. Look. You didn't need that. He's doing that because he loves you. And when you start your relationship, and as he begins that relationship, and taking you out and becoming the God for you as a people forever, look at the chesed that he's done, and we find the mitzvah later in Sefer Devarim, the pasuk that we started, Shemor es Chodesh Aviv. Every year, we will manipulate an entire calendar because Pesach must be in the springtime. Because every year Pesach, when it's beautiful outside, and the trees are in blossom, and the grass is turning green, and the flowers are out, and the birds are chirping, and you say, this is what it was like when Hashem took us out. Unnecessary, but it was a testimony to the chesed that he did, a testimony to the love that he has for the Jewish people, and that's what he wanted to do. And it seems like that would, in my mind, is at least a beginning, a hint as to where we have this significance put behind the fact that it's that during the month of the Aviv, the Chodesh Aviv, and that's when we make the Karban Pesach. Okay. Let's move on. When does this first pasuk, verse 1, when does it sound like we left Mitzrayim? At what time of day?
Nighttime.
Excellent, right? It's pretty clear. Right? The verse says, you shall observe the month of the springtime, bring the Korban Pesach. Why during the month of springtime? Because that's when Hashem took us out. And then the Torah adds a phrase, which would seemingly be irrelevant, at night. Now there's one slight problem with this pasuk. What's that?
We weren't taken out at night.
Correct. We didn't leave at night. We left during the day. So it's just, you know, a small problem. Guess who noticed this problem?
Rashi.
Correct. Rashi notices this problem. Says Rashi, three lines down in the first column on page 1020. Mi Mitzrayim, Lai Levahalo Bayom Yatsu, asks Rashi, wait a minute. What do you mean you left at night? They left during the day. Shenemar, from the next morning after they offered the Korban Pesach, that's when they left. The Torah makes it clear they left. The Torah uses a phrase in the middle of the day. Ella, listen to what Rashi says. Now, I don't really have a great, I don't know what to say about this. I just think it's a beautiful idea, and I'll leave it for your own thoughts. Lefisha Balayla Nasan Lahem Paro Rishus, what says. It was nighttime when Paro came running through the streets. If you go back over the story, when did Makos Bechoros take place? When did the death of the firstborn happen?
At midnight.
Exactly at midnight. What does Paro do? Wakes up in the middle of the night and runs through the streets. Where's Moshe and Aaron? Get out of my country. What do Moshe and Aaron say to him? We're not going to leave in the middle of the night like a bunch of thieves stealing out. We'll wait till daybreak, we'll wait till the morning, and we'll leave when we're ready to leave. Says Rashi, why does the Torah describe us as having left at night? You know, there's a famous Israeli song, a kid song, Paro be pajama be'emza halayla. Paro in his pajamas running through the night. I never heard it until we had a guest from Eretz Yisrael in our house, and she was singing the whole Paro be pajama be'emza halayla. Why does the Torah describe us as having left at night when it's clear we left during the day? Because the permission was granted at night. Paro told us to leave at night. We chose, Moshe said, nothing doing. We're not going to steal out of here in the middle of the night. We're going to leave when we feel like leaving in the morning. So it's viewed as if we left at night because that's when we were told or had permission to go. Now, I haven't fully developed, I don't know what to say on this. I just find that fascinating that you have the Torah describing an event taking place at night because that's when the permission was granted. And I don't know what the lesson there is yet, but I just throw it out there as something of note and of interest, that sometimes when we say something, when we give the permission for something to take place, in the Torah's eyes, we view that that's where the event happened. That was the integral moment when you said, fine, you can go. There's something significant about that, almost more than when they actually left, that we will then describe the entire Exodus as happening at night because of that. I don't know what to say. I throw that out there. I'm open to suggestions. If you have anything of interest, I would love to hear either now or later anything on that. Okay, well, let's move on. That's the first pasuk. Continues the Torah. What do we do now? It's Pesach time. V'zavachta Pesach l'Hashem Elokecha. You shall slaughter the Korban Pesach, verse 2, on to Hashem. On which day do we bring the Korban Pesach? Which day of the month of Nisan?
14th.
On the 14th of Nisan. Pesach starts on the 15th. The night of the 15th, and the Korban Pesach is brought on the 14th. So, for example, this year, the Beis HaMikdash shall be rebuilt speedily between now and Pesach. Pesach will begin on Wednesday night. So Wednesday afternoon, beginning a little bit after Chatzos, you bring the Korban Pesach. So all the Jews would be in... Erev Pesach is totally different in the way that it's supposed to be observed and the way that we observe. We observe Erev Pesach as a crazy day, which it is, but it's getting busy for the Seder. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, Erev Pesach was a crazy day because everybody was already in Yerushalayim. And on Erev Yontov, you have to bring the Korban Pesach. So Wednesday afternoon, everybody would be in the Beis HaMikdash bringing their Korban Pesach. You'd go back home Wednesday night, you would have the Seder, and then you would eat the Korban Pesach for your Afikom. And after having had your meal, and you were now full and satiated with the other Korbanos that you had brought, then you would eat the Korban Pesach. So the Torah says, "V'zavach to Pesach Hashem alakach atzonu v'akar." Shall bring the Korban Pesach. Now our scroll here is very unfair to the way that I would have otherwise presented this. If you would just look at the Hebrew side, what the Torah actually says is, "You shall slaughter the Pesach from sheep or from cattle." B'makom asher yivchar Hashem l'shaken shemo sham. And there's another very slight problem here in this verse, which you will not pick up on the English because of what Art Scroll did. But if you just look at the Hebrew, the phrase is v'zavachta Pesach l'Hashem alokecha. You will slaughter the Pesach to Hashem, tzon uvakar, sheep and cattle. This is Korban Pesach trivia here. What type of animal are you allowed to bring the Korban Pesach from?
Sheep.
Or?
Cattle.
Nope. No. Sheep or a goat. Those are the only two types of animals you can bring the Korban Pesach from. So one reading this pasuk would have another slight problem, like we had just a pasuk ago, which the Torah said we left at night, and we really left during the day. Torah here says, you shall slaughter the Korban Pesach from sheep or from cattle. Well, guess who noticed this problem?
Rashi.
Correct. Says Rashi, Tzon, Shenemer mina kvasim u'mina izin tikach, you could bring from the sheep or from the goats. Ubakar, says Rashi, that can't possibly be for the Korban Pesach, because you're not allowed to bring a Korban Pesach from cattle. This must be a reference to the Korban Chagiga. There was another sacrifice which was offered in honor of the holiday, and from that sacrifice they would eat meat, and you would have your Simcha Suda Yontav, you would have your meal for Yontav from those sacrifices that were brought. And that's hinted at this pasuk. And you see how Art Scroll is not a true translation. This is very important. We've mentioned this many, many, many times. Art Scroll is not a translation. They're a commentary based on Rashi's commentary. If they were a translation, the English version should have read, you shall slaughter the Pesach offering from the flock and from your cattle. But that's not what the Torah means, because the sages understood clearly, you can't offer it from cattle. What's this a reference to? Bringing other sacrifices. So how does Art Scroll translate this? They put in brackets, and also offer, right? You shall slaughter the Pesach offering to Hashem your God from the flock, and also offer cattle. That's not in the text. That's not what the Torah says. The Torah says you'll bring the Pesach offering from the sheep or from the cattle. But they're translating based on Rashi, who's interpreting the Torah based on the way that the oral law, Chazal, the sages understood it to mean. And when you read an Art Scroll, they've already done the work for you. They want it to be accurate. And they don't hide this. I always mean to say this, because the reason why I stress this is because when we often listen to the laning on Shabbos morning, we often follow along primarily in the English. But it's important to note that the way that the English Art Scroll translates it as, they're already translating it as Rashi interprets. Very often the Ramban translates different. I always like pointing out when we have a machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban, and then we look back at Art Scroll, they've taken sides on how to translate the text based on Rashi. And they write clearly in the introduction, this is what we're doing. We are not writing a literal word-for-word translation. We are writing a translation based on Rashi's commentary. And this is a great little example. They insert in brackets that which is necessary to understand the correct meaning, even though it's not at all what the literal text means. This is what the sages understood it to mean. Which is fine. It's just important to know that as we read through, because sometimes you'll hear somebody will say something and it doesn't fit with Art Scroll, and that's because Art Scroll is basing it on Rashi, and there are other commentaries out there who understood and interpreted differently. Okay, in any case, where do you bring the Korban Pesach? The verse concludes in the place that Hashem will choose to dwell, and that is Yerushalayim. And we'll just note here, how many times is the word Yerushalayim used in the Chumash?
Heifer-Hughes.
Are you putting forth a guess?
Mm-hmm.
How many?
Zero.
Any other guesses? All right, well, in the absence of any other guesses, you're correct. The word Yerushalayim is not used. The way that the Torah always describes Yerushalayim is the place that I shall choose to dwell in. And it's not referred to by name, the place of Yerushalayim. It's always referred to as, there's a hint to it in the beginning of Bereishis, Yerushalayim, but it's not the actual name of the city of Yerushalayim. The place that I will choose to dwell in. Why that is, I'll leave that for you to ponder. Why should Hashem choose to refer to the city of Yerushalayim as the place that I shall choose to dwell and never refer to it by name? We'll leave that as an open-ended question, but this is another example where you do see that. Okay, let's move on. Pasuk Gimel. Lo sochal olav chomet. You are not allowed to eat leavened bread with it. So the Korban Pesach, which we've just been discussing in Pasuk Beis, verse 2, that Korban, you cannot eat chomet with that Korban. Shivas yamim tochol olav matzos lechem oni. Instead, what you shall eat for the 7 days of the Pesach holiday is matzah. And the Torah defines what matzah is. It's a lechem oni, a bread of affliction or a bread of the poor man. Because in great haste you departed from Egypt. In order that you shall always remember. This is a busy, busy pasuk. Let's try to break down the pasuk. What's going on in this pasuk? In your own words, I mean, there are like 5 or 6 phrases. Each one is packed. So let's try to just, what's going on in the pasuk? How many different concepts do we have? And what are, let's get started. What do we have here?
We don't eat leavened bread.
Okay, number one, we have a prohibition of eating chametz, and that's been mentioned, of course, many times in the Torah by this time, but we do have it included here, and the way that it's included here is in a unique aspect. It's connected to the Korban Pesach. Don't eat leavened bread with it. Okay, that's one concept we have in the Pesach. What else do we have? 7 days what?
You shall eat matzah.
Okay, so we have now those are two sides of the same coin. A prohibition from eating chametz. And on the other side we have 7 days you must eat matzah. We have a sidebar defining what matzah is. But that's not really, if we want to get to what's the crux of this pasuk, the fact that it's bread of affliction is going to be parenthetical. I would put that in parentheses. That just defines what matzah is. So far, really what the message being conveyed by the pasuk so far is, don't eat chametz. Instead, for 7 days, you should eat matzah.
And you departed from the land of Egypt.
Okay, now those are two. Now, how should we put those? And what are those giving reasons, explanations? What are we doing with those two phrases? In English, it's translated as, for you departed from the land of Egypt in haste. In Hebrew, it's with the word ki. Ki b'chi pazon yatzasa mi Mitzrayim. What is that phrase doing? In the simple meaning?
Yes.
Meaning what? Because what?
It's justifying why we need matzah.
Excellent. So don't eat chametz. Eat matzah. It would seem that the Torah is giving the reason for that. And why should you be eating matzah for these 7 days and not eating chametz? Right. So far, I'm not. I'm just reading the pasuk and trying to get clear. Right. Is that agreed upon? That's what the pasuk seems to be saying. Now, that's not foreign to us. That's very right. We're used to that idea. Right. Why do we eat matzah on Pesach? Because we left Egypt in such great haste, we didn't even have time for the bread to rise. But we say that in Haggadah every year. That's what it would seem like the pasuk is saying. Don't eat matzah. Don't eat chametz. 7 days eat matzah because in great haste you left from Mitzrayim. And now, what should we do with that last phrase? So that you will remember the day of your departure from the only day of your life. What should we do with that? What's that explaining?
The why.
The why of what?
Of why are we doing this?
Okay. Agree? Disagree?
Also, as a Shema.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, as far as this pasuk goes, how should we read this pasuk? We have a prohibition of chametz, mitzvah of matzah. We seem to have the reason why we eat matzah because we left in great haste. And then we seem to have, and that the reason for all of these things is in order to remind us always of the Exodus from Mitzrayim. Now, are we okay with that? I mean, I think it makes sense. A busy pasuk, that's basically what is going on. Okay. That is fine. Let's read Rashi. Pasuk Gimel, it's halfway through the first column. Lechem Oni, the bread of affliction. Lechem Shemazkir es ha'oni shenis anu b'mitzrayim. Why is it the bread of affliction, this idea of the matzah? It's the bread that we eat which reminds us of the affliction that we were afflicted with in Egypt. Why does this matzah remind us of that?
Because they left very quickly, and that's how...
So that's not going to remind us of the affliction. That's going to remind us of the redemption. The Torah, this is an important point, exactly the point that I'm trying to bring out. The Torah defines the matzah as lechem oni. Rashi says, what does it mean, bread of affliction? Shemazkir, it reminds us of the affliction that we were afflicted with. Why should matzah remind us of that?
We didn't have time to bake bread properly because we were so busy with the Egyptians.
That's what it's doing, right? It is a poor man's bread. When you were slaves in Egypt, so that matzah is right away going to take two meanings on.
It's unflavored and...
Right? Many people, you know, matzah is the kind of thing which I've, in my travels through life, seem to be one of those things where you either hate it or you love it. Like very few people, yeah, matzah, whatever. I know people who just love matzah all year round. And then you have people like it's just the most painful 8 days of their life that they have to suffer through matzah.
Sometimes it disagrees with them.
For whatever the reason. Right? But matzah is one of those things. Well, matzah has a couple of different aspects to it. Number one, the Torah defines it as a lechem oni, as a bread of affliction. And Rashi points out, when you eat the matzah, it reminds us not of the redemption in great haste. It reminds us of the difficulties that we had, the afflictions that we had, the poverty, the suffering, that this is all that we had to eat. But that's not why the Torah says we eat it. That's just what it is. Why did the Torah say we need to eat it?
So we can remember.
Remember what?
The afflictions.
No, that's not what the Torah says. Remember, I want to clarify on this, but what the verse says. Rashi, the verse defined what matzah is. How do we define it? Lechem Oni, bread of affliction. Why is it defined as bread of affliction? Because it reminds us of the bad times that we had.
Yes.
But why does the Torah command us to eat it on Pesach? What's the reason the verse gives?
Remember the day of departure.
Correct. What happened on the day of departure? What does the Torah say? How was it the day of departure? What was it like? It was in great haste.
Yeah.
So that's why the Torah says to eat the matzah. So why am I commanded to eat this matzah? Because you left in great haste and you had no time to bake bread. What is the matzah that you're eating? It also reminds you of the afflictions that you had, of the slavery, that this was the only kind of food that they also had to eat. So it's going to do two things at once. And there's a whole lot to talk about, which I didn't even want to get into at all today. The duality, the double aspect of the matzah, that at the same time that it reminds us of the affliction, it also reminds us of the great haste that we left. That's a sidebar.
This says that that matzahs were their food during the years of slavery.
Correct.
While they were in Egypt, they were eating matzah too.
Correct, because they didn't have the ability to bake anything better than that. Now, Rashi says, "Ki b'chi pazon yatzasa," because in great haste you left, Rashi says, "V'lo hispik botzek lahachmitz," their dough did not have time to leaven. V'zeh yelochol zikaron. So when you eat the matzah, that will be a reminder for that. When you eat the matzah, it will be a reminder for the great haste that you left. Now Rashi points out, v'chi pazon lo shel chohaya. You didn't leave in great haste because you were in a rush. Why do we leave in great haste? Elashon Mitzrayim, the Egyptians were trying to kick us out. We didn't have to leave so fast. In fact, we even told the Egyptians, we're not going to leave in the middle of the night. We're going to wait until the next morning. But they were in a great haste to get us out. Vatechzak Mitzrayim Alaham, the Egyptians forced themselves upon the Jews to get them out. And therefore, says the Torah, you'll eat matzah because you left in great haste without time for your dough even to rise and to leaven. Therefore, you'll eat matzah. In order that this should be a reminder of you for all the days of your life, Rashi says, through eating the Korban Pesach and the matzah, this will always remind you. So when you sit at the Seder and you eat the matzah, why are you thinking that you're eating the matzah? Because we left in great haste. Why am I eating the Korban Pesach? reminds me of the whole Exodus, and this will always serve as my sign. Okay, that's the basic meaning of the pasuk. So at the end of this pasuk, if I were to ask you, at your Pesach Seder, why are you eating matzah now? What would you tell me? What's the reason why we're eating matzah?
Sometimes we
to what?
To remember that we're most in pain.
That's correct, right? Yeah. And if I would say to you, what's your source for that? What would you tell me?
Rashi and the
Torah. Right? You don't even need Rashi. You go straight to the pasuk. What does the verse say?
It says, you know,
you shall not eat leavened bread. For 7 days you shall eat matzahs, bread of affliction, for you departed from the land of Egypt in haste. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Then we're going to argue with me on that.
No.
Right? If I'm at your Seder and I ask you, why are you eating matzah? You're going to say, because it says in Parshas Re'eh, Chapter 16, verse 3, you eat matzah because in great haste you left, and as Rashi explained, you did not even have chance for the dough to rise, and in fact, you could even open up your Haggadah and say, that's what it says in our Haggadah. I'll even read it to you. I have Haggadah right here. Matzah zu sha'anu ochlim. The matzah that we are eat, for what reason? I'm reading straight out of the Haggadah. Because the dough of our fathers did not have time to become leaven before the King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be He, revealed Himself to them and redeemed them. And they baked, as the Torah states, and they baked unleavened bread from the dough which they had taken with them from Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not delay there, nor had they prepared for themselves any provisions for the way. That's what it says, right? You're waiting for the question, right? Oh, you guys know me too well already. Okay, there's a major problem with this. The Maharal asks the following question. And he says, this is a serious, serious problem. Says the Maharal. I'm in the wrong place. Hold on one second. Wrong chapter. Okay, turn to, let's go to back in Sefer Shmos, verse chapter 12, verse 15. It's on page 354 and 300, and, well, actually starts on page 352. Now, just to give us some context as to where we are, if you flip back, just this is the beginning of chapter 12. Is on taking place before the first verse in chapter 12 on page 348 is Vayomer Hashem al Moshe v'al Aharon b'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem speaks to Moshe and Aaron. Where are they?
In Egypt.
In Egypt. So this is clearly taking place before the redemption or after the redemption? Before the redemption. HaChodesh Hazel Lochem. This Chodesh, this month shall be the first of all months for you. What month are they referring to?
Nisan.
On what day are they speaking? At best, it's Rosh Chodesh, if not earlier than that. So we're at least, how many weeks before the redemption? Two. And he teaches them about all of the halachas, about the Korban Pesach, as you continue reading. And going all the way down to verse 14. Now, we are still having the same conversation. This is all one long conversation, which is still taking place in Mitzrayim, at least 2 weeks before the actual redemption takes place. Let's just pick up with verse 14. This day shall become a remembrance for you, and you shall celebrate it as a festival for Hashem for your generations. As an eternal decree shall you celebrate it. Hashem is saying this is always going to be a yontav. It will be a special yontav on the 15th of the month. You're going to see it's going to be a holiday. For a 7-day period, you shall eat matzos. But on the previous day you shall nullify leaven from your homes. Anyone who eats leavened food shall be cut off from the Jewish people. What mitzvah did Hashem just teach us during the month, during the Pesach Yantiv?
To eat matzah.
Eat matzah. When is this being said?
2 weeks before and before.
Correct. Says the Maharal, you may have heard this question before, this is one of the major questions that need to be addressed. We just read the passage that we were studying in Parshas Re'eh, in which the Torah seems to state clearly, why are you eating matzah? Because in great haste you left. In fact, I read out you straight out of the Haggadah. The Haggadah says, matzah zu sha'anu ochlim, the matzah that we are eating, al shul, why are we eating it? because our forefathers did not have time to bake the bread while they left because the Egyptians kicked them out so fast. Says the Maral, I have a question. I don't understand what you're talking about, because in my Chumash, it says, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, 2 weeks before the redemption, Shem tells the Jewish people, starting on the night of the 15th of Nisan, for 7 days, you shall eat matzah. Why do we eat matzah on Pesach? Because that's part of the, I don't know, why do we sit in a sukkah on sukkahs? Because it there says that's how you celebrate the Yontif. It says clearly, eat matzah 2 weeks before. How can you tell me that the reason why we're eating matzah is because of the great haste and the fact that nobody had time to bake bread? Of course they didn't bake bread. They were told to eat matzah. Like that question?
It could be that the purpose of the matzah is to remind us of the leaving, even though Hashem
already commanded
it 2 weeks ahead of time.
Okay. What do you think about that, Lucy?
I'm thinking.
You like the question, at least?
Well, here I read before, it says that you ate matzah before you left. Where did I read that?
Right, as the bread of affliction. And that's poor people, that's all that we could afford to eat.
Well, if you ate matzah before you left Egypt, what is the difference between the matzah afterwards?
Well, that commandment in Shmos is telling the Jews for all generations that during this 7 day period, we also have to eat matzah. No matter what time period we live in, whatever kind of affluence we might have, 7 days during Pesach, that's what we're going to eat. So the Maral asks this question on our verse. How can it be that the Torah describes and the Haggadah says that the reason why we eat matzah is because we left in such great haste? The Torah already commanded us to eat matzah well before that. So the Maral quotes the Ramban. The Ramban gives the following text, which I believe is very similar to what Dina is trying to convey. It was already revealed before Hashem that the plan was such that they were going to leave with great haste. The lo yasvik habotzek lahachmas, there wasn't going to be time. He knew God does not have to live life linearly as we do, one day and another day. He already saw the whole thing in advance. He knew we were going to leave with great haste. So he happened to have commanded us 2 weeks earlier to make matzah, but the real reason why he commanded us 2 weeks earlier to make matzah is because he knew we would be commemorating that which would happen 2 weeks later, that we wouldn't have time to bake our dough into bread. It would only be left as matzah. And therefore, since that was going to happen, he already put it into the legislature earlier, even though it was because of what was going to happen. That's one of our quotes from the Ramban. So why do we eat matzah? Because we left in great haste. We knew 2 weeks earlier we were going to have a mitzvah to eat matzah. So it's one of the examples in which we would say, Hashem commanded the Jewish people to eat matzah on Rosh Chodesh. And for 2 weeks, they had no idea why there was a command to eat matzah. They thought it was just some weird thing pulled out of a hat. Eat matzah. All right, we'll eat matzah. 2 weeks later, an event takes place, and they all say, oh, that's why he wanted us to eat matzah, because we would be commemorating this event which he knew was going to happen. And for all generations' sake, why do we today eat matzah? Because they left in such great haste. The fact that Hashem happened to have told it to them 2 weeks earlier doesn't change anything. It only was because he knew that that was going to happen. That's how the Ramban, Nachmanides, gives an answer to this question. What I want to share with you is what the Maral has commented on this. He doesn't come to argue. He accepts that as a valid answer. What you see, however, says the Maral, he doesn't really say this part, this is my understanding of why he says what he's about to say. If you have something in which Hashem knows is going to happen, but feels it necessary to legislate it 2 weeks earlier, it's integral. It has to be that way. It needs to be. Like, not just that. In other words, if it was an irrelevant detail that they left quickly, you wouldn't legislate it 2 weeks in advance as a requirement for everybody to eat matzah because it happened to be that they left in great haste. It has to be an integral detail to the Pesach story that they left quickly, that they were kicked out, that the Jews would have said, I'm not ready to go. I need more time to bake my bread. And the Egyptians said, get out of here. That's an important point of the story, so much so that Hashem had already legislated 2 weeks in advance, so that for all generations, we eat matzah. It's already put in the Torah 2 weeks earlier than the event actually took place. And the very fact that we eat matzah because of that seems to be very important. Listen to what the Maral says. This is such a fascinating aspect of the matzah that we eat. Benira says the Maharal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ratza Davka Lohotziyim. He specifically needed and wanted to take them out in such a manner where they were kicked out and rushed out when they weren't ready to go. Leharos, to show, Shehu Yizbaruch Hotziyim Biyan Chazaka. To show that the entire Exodus was really directed through Hashem with His powerful hand. V'lo yomru Yisrael me'atzmeinu yatzanu. This is such a brilliant insight. What could have happened generations later? The Jews would have had the story, like many nations who have been enslaved, who have been oppressed, and they become free. And what do they say? What do the American people say? We were oppressed by the British. And what happened?
We fought for our freedom.
And we won. What do we celebrate? Independence Day. We have gained their independence. If we would have left on our own terms, what would have happened is that it would have been open for someone to say, we finally were able to get our freedom. You remember all those miracles? Yeah, there are miracles. Aval kasher yiru ki paro melech Mitzrayim. But when the Jews saw it, it was Paro himself who was kicking them out before their dough was ready. The Jews are saying to Paro, I'm not ready to go yet. And Paro says to them himself, get out of my land. Take your stuff. Take my stuff. Take my people's stuff. Just get out. And Paro didn't want them out. And the Jewish people weren't ready to leave yet. The commemoration that we have of the matzah, and we say, why are we eating this matzah? And so you say to your children, you say to the people around your table, you say, because the Jews were in such great haste, they didn't even have time to bake their bread. Alright, is that the most important detail of the story? Again, just like what we started with the month of the Chodesh Aviv, the springtime. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is freedom from slavery, becoming a nation, Hashem revealing Himself to us in a way that we can always look to and say, that's Hashem. Why do we make such a big deal about matzah? Says the Maharal, it's the matzah aspect, the fact that we left in great haste, which ties it all back together. It doesn't allow you to say we did it on our own. Why are we eating this matzah? Because we didn't even want to leave yet. We didn't want to leave. I don't have any food yet. Give me another 10 hours. Let me get my stuff ready. And you didn't even have a chance to do that. You couldn't even wait for that. Why'd you leave so fast? Because Paro kicked us out. Paro kicked you out? What the story that comes down to all of our generations, from one generation to the next generation, we're eating matzah because we left in such great haste. And what that's a testimony to, says the Maharal, is that it's Hashem behind the scene. It's a reminder to us how this came about, that we're eating matzah now because we didn't even have time to bake bread. We weren't even ready to leave. Paro kicked us out. Why did he do that? Because Hashem said it's enough already. And it ties it all back to that. Had their dough, had a chance to rise, and they had a chance to pack their provisions. You wouldn't have recognized, you wouldn't have seen the hand of Hashem in as clear a way. The Jewish people, they wanted to leave. They would have been ready to leave. They would have packed their bags, they would have gone in for one last thing. The regular routine when you go on a trip. Now for the last year, this is why it's such a brilliant insight. For the previous year, Hashem's hand has been everywhere. All of the Makos, the 10 Makos took a year's time from start to finish. The amazing, miraculous events. But if you think about the actual Exodus, there wasn't anything during that moment that would have shown you Hashem's hand. If you would have been able to take a snapshot, you would have woken up, the CNN newsroom would have woken up at 7 a.m. on the morning of Yetzias Mitzrayim. What would they have seen? Jewish people packing up their bags and leaving. What would they have reported? Jewish people got up and left. Where's God? I don't know. Now, if you watched the whole story, you would have been able to piece together what took place. But we all know that CNN Newsroom doesn't watch the whole story. They're just picking up what they would have seen. The actual moment of the redemption didn't have Hashem's Yad HaChazaka anywhere in it. They just left. Says in the Maharal, that's why he kicked you out. So that as you're leaving, you're saying, no, I need one thing. Get out. And as you're doing that, if they would have had the video cameras rolling as they would have left, you would have seen Jews trying to get back into their homes, to get food and provisions and bake their bread. And the Egyptians physically pushing them out. And we eat matzah to say, every single moment of this was because of Hashem's great hand that took us out. And don't even have any moment of this story which would allow anyone to say the Jews actually wanted to leave. Even when they left, he did it in a way where we would have liked another couple of hours to get ready to go. And you didn't have a chance. Because when you then say to your children and to your people at your Seder table, we're eating the matzah because we didn't have time to bake bread, what you're really saying is Hashem's hand was so great that he had the Mitzrim kick us out so fast that we didn't even have time. So that every aspect of it is because of the Yad HaChazakah, as Hashem had promised Avraham, I will take you out with my strong hands. And that, says the Maral, is why what the meaning of that is, the deeper meaning of we didn't have time. Now, we all know that line, because they didn't have time to bake bread. But we just think of it as, it was a big rush. The Maral says it's so much deeper than that. It was a great rush. There was a Mitzrim who kicked us out to show during every aspect how it was Hashem's hand that was involved in that, getting us out as quickly as possible. Oh yeah, I had so much more to say on this. These verses are so rich. Alright, what are we going to do? Yeah.
Jerusalem? How you said it only mentioned in the place where he dwells?
Yeah.
You're supposed to talk about that one?
No, I'm not going to talk about that. Yeah, you got to think about it. You got to think about it. Alright, I think I'll just start the end of this verse, which says that you shall remember all your days of your life. This is actually the source of the mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to recall the Exodus every day. It comes from this verse, L'man tizkor yom seitzchom yom kol yimei chayecha. And this is also the verse that's from the Haggadah. You might have recognized that phrase. You might remember the phrase of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Azariah, said, I'm like a man of 70 years, but I was never able to convince my colleagues that one is obligated to mention the Exodus at night, until Ben Zoma said, you may remember the day when you came out of Egypt all the days of your life. That's this verse. And he explains, all the days is during the night, of your life is at night, and the rest. Sages said, no, it means this world and the world when Mashiach comes. It's from this this verse that we just started studying, which we didn't even get to finish. Okay, that's it. Next week I will not be here. I'll be in New York, Mirtz Hashem, on Tuesday. And then the week after that, probably I'm imagining we're not going to get together, but we'll see how things go. Watch your email. All right. Have a great afternoon.